Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today. Praise God, we are in the midst of a message I've been sharing that I've entitled After the Fire. And we've been looking and making some reflections on the life of Elijah, a very pivotal and significant time in his life. He had been faithful to the Lord. He had accomplished great and marvelous things when he prayed. It hadn't rained for 3 years. And of course, when he prayed, the heavens were opened and God honored his prayer. James mentions in that fifth chapter of his epistle that he was a man of like passions as we are, and that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and he used him as an example. So, beloved, we were looking at 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and we saw that in spite of the great victory that he had experienced on Mount Carmel with the devastation and destruction of the Baal prophets, where God's glory and power was shown, a miracle, the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed the water, the sacrifice, the wood, even the very rocks. And what he had hoped would have transpired would a wholesale, because all of Israel was there. You would have expected that there would have been a wholesale national repentance and revival, but that was not the case. And to make matters worse, Jezebel threatened him and said, "By this time tomorrow, you're a dead man." And so, advisedly, he runs for his life and leaves his servant after traveling about 80 miles out of the reach of Jezebel and requests to die. And God does not honor that. He causes him to be supernaturally sustained by bread and water that an angel fixed for him when he was napping. And he runs for 40 days and nights in the strength of that food, comes to Mount Horeb, and hides in a cave. And then the Lord asked him a question. He said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And whenever the Lord asks a question, he is definitely trying to get our attention. He's trying to teach us something. And we see that he asked that question twice, and Elijah answers the very same way. In verse 13, that's where we had basically stopped yesterday. We saw this tremendous demonstration of God's power. In fact, as I read that in before I came on the broadcast, it's like I had never noticed that great and strong wind, the wind rent the mountains. I've read that how many times, but can you imagine a wind strong enough to break mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord? I mean, you could see trees being uprooted and things like that happening, but rocks being broken? Goodness sakes. And then there was an earthquake, there was a fire, and the Lord had told him to stand upon the mount before the Lord, but he didn't. He was still hiding in the cave, it appears, because when God spoke a second time and said, "What are you doing here?" there was a still small voice, that Elijah wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And then God again asked, "What are you doing?" He repeats verbatim what he said before. "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So, what is going on here? Well, obviously, he was very dismayed. When we see that God is demonstrating to Elijah. And also I felt that as we see here a still small voice, I believe God was heralding a new dispensation of God's dealings with man. Elijah was an amazing, powerful prophet. He was fiery. He was adamant. He came in judgment. And his successor, who was to be Elisha, was quite different in character and personality. He was friendly. He was diplomatic. He came in grace, and he was the one God chose to be anointed in Elijah's stead when Elijah was to be taken to heaven. And at this point in Israel's history, we see an ushering in of a quiet, peaceful ministry, if you will, of Elisha. And it's foreshadowing, if you will, the New Testament prophets and this present church age in which we live, the present church, the body of Christ. So God was showing Elijah he had other ways of reaching out to his people. Think about that. God was demonstrating, it wasn't in just the spectacular, the powerful wind and earthquake and fire, but in a still small voice. God was showing Elijah it's not going to be as it was in the past. And Elijah's second reply, which was exactly the same as the first, is that perhaps I might suggest to you indicative of the level of his despondency. He was redheaded. He was worn out. And of course, the covering of the face, that was an Asiatic way of showing reverence, one of the customs of the time. He was responding exactly as at the first. And what does this suggest? Perhaps, isn't that true of all of us? Look at the prophet Jonah. Don't we tend to be set in our ways? Sometimes do we not want to deal with reality? You know, I'm reminded of Jonah, Jonah 3 and 4. He says, therefore now, just like Elijah, he says, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than live. And then God again, just like he did with Elijah, he questions him twice. God had repented of the evil against Nineveh, and it had greatly displeased Jonah. Didn't I say that when I was in my own country? I knew you'd do that, God. And God asks, doest thou well to be angry? God had prepared him a gourd to give shade, but in the very next morning, because it was very hot, it withered. And God said, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? It's like Jonah does not learn very well. Jonah answers, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Oh, goodness. You know, earlier in this message, I said, it's not enough to be obedient or to have your will surrendered to the will of God. Now, that's quite a statement. But, beloved, let's take it beyond this. Jonah was obedient. Elijah was obedient. But as believers, we're not only to have our will, but our every thought brought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. There is the wholeness of our person that needs to be submitted to Christ. Not only our thoughts, but listen, beloved, our thoughts control our actions, our opinions, our emotions. Isn't that true? That's why it's so important. God gives us, you know, takes us right down to the root, to the basics. Bring every thought, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our opinions, our emotions, those also have to be submitted to God. There's no question Elijah was certainly an obedient and wonderful champion of the Lord God of Israel. He was a powerful prophet of the Lord. But from, you know, his from where he was at, he looked like everything was a total failure. And beloved, just as Elijah was depressed, if any of you listening to me right now are discouraged and depressed and dismayed because you have exerted everything, your every effort, every labor, every prayer, you have done handstands, done cartwheels, I'm speaking now metaphorically, did everything you could and you still haven't seen results, well, you know, beloved, just as Elijah, you're probably depressed right now. You're probably discouraged. But beloved, let me share a secret. Depression almost always results from viewing things from our perspective. Yes, that's why we're to have his thoughts, to have bring every thought into the captivity, under the obedience of Christ. We know from Isaiah, our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. God has a plan, and God has a perspective beyond time, beyond eternity. He doesn't measure success the way we do. He is the I am that I am. He is the everlasting God. He is the God that knows no limits. He is the God to whom nothing is impossible. And so, what is God's remedy for Elijah? Beloved, the remedy for Elijah is the same remedy for you. There needs to be a revelation that it is our whole, total person. It is the whole man that needs to be obedient to the Word of God. That is the slogan of our ministry that Brother Glass was given of the Lord in 1965, the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world. Beloved, the whole man has to receive the Word of God, not just our will. It has to be our thoughts. It has to be our soul. It has to be our emotions. It has to be our passions, so that we will respond in a way that is pleasing to God, and not only that, to be like God. We are to be little Christ, Christians, if you will. That's what that word means. We're to reflect the power, the love of God. We are given authority in this world because we are His children. We are ambassadors for the King that is soon coming to rule and reign. Hallelujah. We know that God is a powerful God. You know, I'd like to read verses 15 through 18, but I'm afraid we won't have time. We're going to see the Lord's remedy in a very specific and practical way for Elijah. But I want you to just hear what I've been sharing. Father, I just lift a very brief prayer that You would give us the spirit of revelation to understand, even as Elijah did, that Lord, You are doing a new thing, and You want not just our wills submitted, but our emotions surrendered to You, and our willingness to be yielded to You, to know that Your ways aren't our ways, Your thoughts aren't our thoughts, and that You are a merciful God, a loving, kind God, and that You will hear and answer prayer. Thank You for Your ministry to Your people, Lord, even now. Encourage their hearts, instill new faith, breathe new hope into them, and Father, let them know that there is nothing impossible to You, and let us, as Your servants, lay hold to that in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You for it. I feel His anointing. I wish I could spend another 15 minutes with you, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to tune in tomorrow, and we'll continue to share what God has revealed. I love you. Thank you for listening, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.